This morning, the scripture reading is 1 John 2, 15 through 17. That's 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has done and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, especially to all of my young friends here. I appreciate all of y'all being up here with me this morning. I may not talk very loud, and that's because you're up here. I don't have to. Therefore, everybody else has to pay very close attention to what we have to talk about this morning. We're going to embark upon something that I don't know if you have had a discussion with someone about or not. But I just want to ask you a question about this right here. What has it been that other people have told you about certain people in the world? Has anybody ever said to you that there are certain people that you need to stay away from? That there are certain people that you need to never be associated with? The first chapter of Proverbs, verse 7, verse 15, describes some people. If you were to read, and we won't read all of this, but there are certain things that he says in verse 10 in particular. He says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive." He says up in verse 15, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood." And again, I ask you, has there ever been a time where you had somebody tell you or say to you that there's certain people you just don't ever want to associate with? And then, let me ask you this. Have you ever gone ahead and associated with them to the point that when you found yourself with them, that they did exactly what you were told they would do? They would cause you to say the things they say, believe the things they believe, do what they do, go the places they go, act the way they act, all those kind of things. And then, after you've done what they've done, somebody comes along and says, "Well, I told you, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you that you'd get in trouble if you were with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? And didn't I tell you if you acted the way they acted that you'd be in trouble just like they were?" And they come along and kind of reiterate what they told you before you got involved with those people. Therefore, it's important to understand how your perception is of the people in the world, that you observe what the book of Proverbs chapter 1 says. You pay attention to what's going on. If you were to read the book of, let's say the Old Testament, and you listen to the things that God told the people of Israel, he says there are certain things about these people. When you go to the land of Canaan, don't associate with them. Drive them out of there. Destroy the people. All those kind of things. And he talked to them about what they would do. They would cause you to believe this. They'd cause you to worship this. They'd cause you to be heathens like they are. And he talked about all those things. And next thing you know, what'd they do? After he told them about those kind of people, they did exactly what he told them not to do. So therefore, your perception of the people in the world is good. But now, that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're not going to talk about your perception of the people in the world. We're going to talk about the world's perception of you. What you look like. What kind of perception that people have of you. When it comes down to physical perception, do you think that there's anything about you that people really look at and say, "Well, that's a person I don't want to associate with." Or, "That's a person I do want to associate with." I don't know if you've ever done this before. You might want to go check it out. There's a place called TrueMirror.com. TrueMirror.com is a true mirror. In other words, it's a mirror that if you look at it, you look like what you look like to others. In other words, when you look in the mirror right now, you're looking at something opposite of what everybody else sees. But it's true mirror, and it's true. It's very true that you can look in it, and it looks just like the way you look to everybody else. 20% of the people say that's okay. They like that mirror. 45% of the people say, that's not me. They don't like that mirror. They just don't like the way they look. So therefore, they start changing. And do you know that there is a perception that people have of you based upon the way you part your hair, if it's on the left or the right? And if you don't even part your hair at all, there's a certain perception that people have of the world that you are intellectual, you're smart, you're more masculine if you part it on one side of your head. If you part your hair on the other side of your head, then you're more emotional, you're more, I guess, feminine, those kind of things. So it depends on the side of your head that you part your hair. Do you know that? So your perception of the world, people have those perceptions of it. And do you know that based on the way that people parted their hair, presidential candidates have changed their parts. Presidential candidates have changed their parts so that people would perceive them a certain way. It's interesting how those things happen. So, now, here's what I want to ask you. Does it matter how you look? Does it matter how you look to everybody else? Your perception that people have of you in the world, does it really make any difference? Does your appearance really mean anything? How you look, is it a judge of who you are and the kind of character you are? And people say, well, that's not going to be the thing that I want to emphasize to people. That really shouldn't be a true judge. Well, ask yourself this question. People put too much emphasis on physical appearance. Do you think that's true or not true? Just think about that just a minute. They put too much emphasis on that. And there's certain truth to that. And then again, there might not be very much truth to that. Did they put too much emphasis on it? Well, let's ask this question. God really cares about my physical appearance. True or not true? Okay, now let's put those two questions together. If God cares and people emphasize the idea of appearance, I should care about physical appearance. Now, is it really physical appearance? Is that overstated? Is that true or not true? Is that a good perception of you? Then how does God look at it? Is God really concerned about it? But if God cares about it, and people emphasize this idea, then should I care about it? True or not true? Well, let's look at something in the Bible. Let's look over here in the book of Matthew chapter 22 and look at something in verse 11 to verse 13. This is about something that Jesus was telling a parable about. He says, the kingdom of heaven in verse 2 is like unto a certain king who made a marriage feast for his son. And all these people were invited to this marriage feast. And people were dressed certain ways when they went to the marriage feast. And they knew that there were certain things that they would wear. Verse 11 of this chapter says, but when the guest he saw there, a man who had not on a wedding garment, and he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. The man didn't know what to say. Now, I wonder why he didn't know what to say. Probably because he knew the answer to the question. Then verse 13 says, The king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and cast him out into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Therefore, the way this man was dressed had a particular appearance, an appearance that was not what was needed and was proper and honorable at the wedding feast. Therefore, they say, get him out. And the man really, when you look at verse 12, says he was speechless. He couldn't say anything because evidently he's guilty. His physical appearance had a certain perception to the people at the feast, as if to say, this man doesn't belong here. There's a statement that a man by the name of William Barclay said. I want you to think about it with me. The way in which a man comes to anything demonstrates the spirit in which he comes. That's an interesting thing. The way in which a man comes to anything demonstrates the spirit in which he comes. So there's two things to think about. One is, your perception of the world is based upon what you look like. The second thing is, what you wear, what you look like, demonstrates the spirit within you. Therefore, that's an interesting thought. Whether you come to a ball game or whether you come to worship God, there's something about that needs to be understood. Now, does physical appearance really mean anything? Does it really make a lot of difference to you? Well, I want you to think about some. Do your clothes say anything about you? Well, they do. They do say something. And you think, well, they don't say anything about me. Well, let me just put the test to you. Let's just put a little test to you. What would it be like, in other words, people say, we can't judge a book by its cover. Well, let's think about this just a minute. Let's just say some guy wears an earring. Let's say he does it on the right ear. And let's say he wears it, or only one earring on the left ear. Or let's say he wears earrings, one in each ear. Does what he wears, does that say anything about him? Does it really matter? Let's just say you know someone who wears black pants
black shirts, black nail polish, black lipstick, black eyeshadow, black everything. Does the way in which that person look, the clothes they wear, is that a perception that you have of that person? And let's take guys for example. Let's just say a guy has pants that seem to be a little bit too big for him. They're baggy, so baggy that they're way down here to the point that his boxer shorts have been exposed. And his shirt is real baggy and is just really hanging down. Does that say anything about who he is? Is that perception? And I go back to this idea. Do you know, is it the way the book looks? Do you judge a book by its cover? Well, your perception of the world is the first appearance people have. That's their first impression of you. And let's say a girl has a very low-cut top or a very tight, squeezed top, and a top that she's got to take and always jerk down in the back, or something's very, very short skirt, and that when she sits, it comes up about another 6 or 8 inches. Is that a perception that people have of her based upon what she wears? Now, I'm not talking about the world the way the world looks. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about the perception that you have to the people in the world. Can you really judge a book by its cover? Okay? I'll tell you why that's important. Calvin Klein thinks so. Calvin Klein thinks so. Abercrombie & Fitch thinks so. American Eagle thinks so. Tommy Hilfiger thinks so. The prison system thinks so. That's why they have certain garments that they wear, to distinguish them from the people in the world. That's why the military thinks so. You can distinguish a man that's a Marine versus a man that's in the Army versus one that's in the Navy versus one that's in the Air Force. They have distinctive garments, distinctive clothes that they wear. So the appearance, it does make a difference. Well, let's look in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 9 and think about what it says here and what's to be considered in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 10. These are the things that he uses as a standard by which we appear before other people. He says, in like manner that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefastness and sobriety, not with braiding of the hair and gold or pearls or costly raiment, but which becometh women professing godliness through good works. The thing that a woman will do before she puts on something is based on what she thinks. Her perception of what is a style, her perception of godliness, her perception of friends, or perception of anything. It's based upon what she's got in her mind, what's going on. The character that she has will affect the dress that she puts on or the appearance that she has before other people. Same thing, true with the guys. It doesn't matter. Therefore, you think, well, it's really what's important. What's important is what you think. Well, think about what you think. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, this is the way God said it. He talked about what a man does. No, he talks about the man's countenance, or the man's heart, he says. In verse 7, this is where Samuel thinks that Eliab is supposed to be the next king. Well, God says he's not the king. He's not going to be the next king. Samuel tells him in verse 7, Jehovah says to Samuel, look not on the countenance or the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For Jehovah sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but Jehovah looks on the heart. And people could look at that and say, well, it really doesn't matter what man thinks. It's only what God thinks. Okay, well, here's what we need to think about. What does God think about your heart? Because that's the person you're going to be outwardly. It's based upon what your heart is. Therefore, your character inside is going to demonstrate itself on the outside. Now, God doesn't say he's not interested and doesn't care about what you wear. He doesn't say that in that verse. He cares about your heart. Therefore, if he cares about your heart, then you should care about what you wear. If God cares and your heart is right, then you're going to be interested in how you look before the world. Amazing how those two things work together. All right? Let's think about what it is that God accepts. Let's look in the book of Acts chapter 10. What is it that God's really wanting to accept from me? And this is Acts 10 verse 34. In Acts 10, 34, it says, and Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God has no respecter of persons. But every nation here that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. Who's God going to accept? Those that fear him and those that work righteousness. Those are the people that are accepted by Him. And therefore, it's important that we understand if your heart is right and God cares, you will care how you look before the world. That's the bottom line. So therefore, we got to understand how our perception is before the world. Let's go on a little bit further and ask a couple more questions here. What do you look like to other people? How do others perceive you? And let's just take what you wear out of the picture here just a minute. Let's talk about this thing that was demonstrated here in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Let's talk about this thing that God looks at, your heart. Okay? Let me let you think about something. When you look at all those verses, and we won't have the time to look at all those things, but first of all, let's look at this one here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to verse 7. I want to read these things to you. And as I read these things, I want you to have a thought in your mind about a person, including yourself. Okay? 2 Peter 1, verse 5, he talks about faith. Then he talks about courage. Then in verse 6, he says knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness. Verse 7, brotherly kindness and love. And think about somebody who demonstrates that. That character that they have is going to be demonstrated outwardly through something that they do. As 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, God looks not upon the outward as man does, but on the inward. Then here's the inward. This is the character. And Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. And all those things that he mentions. And then you go to this list. And listen, I'm going to make a comparison here between two things, or maybe a contrast, I guess you'd say, between two things. In Galatians chapter 5, notice in verse 22 and 23. And think about the same thing I mentioned to you a while ago. What is the first name that comes in your mind when you think about love? He says in verse 22, what's the first person's name that you think about when you think about patience or peace or faithfulness in verse 22 or the idea of self-control in verse 23? And you think about all those characteristics, you think, oh man, I think about a lot of different people. But can those things be used to describe who you are? Who you are. Because if they are, then they're going to be demonstrated to other people. Not just through what you wear, but also in the conduct. So there's something to be said for your first impression upon people based upon what you wear. The second impression is going to be based upon what you do. And that's what these things are right here. What you do. And God's concerned about both aspects of your life. But then look at verse 19. Galatians 5, verse 19. Totally different. What about somebody that's unclean? Or somebody that's an enmity or jealous in verse 20? Or someone that in verse 21 is a drunkard or a reviler? And you might have somebody else's name in that list, which is totally different. As a result of that, you can ask yourself the question, who do I want to be when somebody says my name? Do I want to be considered a person of self-control? Or do I want to be one who is considered to be a jealous or striver or one who is drunken or reviler? That my character, who I am, comes out in the heart in which I have. There's something to be said for that. Let me just show you how this happens. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go over to the book of Ephesians and look at this in verse 4 and compare two things here. First of all, when you look at Ephesians chapter 4, you will notice something that's stated in verse 17 and verse 19. Certain kinds of people who are hard-headed. Certain kinds of people, he says in verse 19, who work all uncleanness, who are vanity in their mind, useless. Then some, he says, who are ignorant in verse 18. You think about that list and then contrast that with chapter 4, verse 25 to verse 32. And let's think about one at a time those things that he mentions here. Verse 25, he says, wherefore put away falsehood, speak ye truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. What value is there? What value is there to integrity? What's the benefit out of that? What's the benefit out of being a person who tells the truth versus a person who tells a lie? If I were to say Wade, is he associated with lying or is he associated with truth? If I say John, is his name associated with truth or is his name associated with lying? We've already talked about what you wear is important, but let's talk about who you become to be. That's going to be very, your character in the world is demonstrated in what it is that you do. Let's go on down to the next one. Verse 26 and verse 27. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. How is anger perceived by the world? Usually when we see people that are angry, we're kind of back away. We don't want to be associated with somebody like that because we don't want to get in line of the fire of the fist that comes around because of the anger. We don't want to be pushed around, those kind of things. We don't want to be associated with that kind of thing. We go off into our room where we can close the door and plug our iPod to our ear and listen to the music. So we don't want to hear all that stuff. Therefore, that's our perception usually what anger is. We don't want to go there. We don't want to be associated with that. But do we know that that might be us? That might be us. Whether I'm playing on the ball field, or whether I'm at home, whether I'm at school. I mean, when we talk about this idea of anger, are we able to control it? Because all of you are going to be angry at some point if you hadn't been already. I very seriously doubt that any of you have not been angry at your mom and dad. If you haven't, then boy, good for you. But in some cases, you've been angry at mom and dad. But how have you conducted that? Because if you let that anger stay, if you let the anger stay long enough, then you allow the devil to take it to be used the way he wants you to use it. But if you let yourself understand how controlled you should be in the anger, you'll be angry at the right thing, and you'll get rid of it. You won't let the devil take it and use it. Because if you let the devil, if you let Satan take it, if you let it stay in your heart long enough, then you become to be somebody that somebody wants to avoid. No one wants to be around you if you're angry. Then let's look at this one. Let's go down to the next one where he says in verse 28, the perception of stealing versus the idea of working, where he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing that is good that he may have whereof to give to him that has need. What's the perception that you have of stealing? Not very good. Let's just say you let somebody borrow your radio or your CD or your iPod or your phone or your clothes, and they borrow that and they never give it back. In essence, you might think, and your perception is, they stole that from me. They stole that. Even though you let them borrow that, and they kept it, and they never gave it back, you'd say, they stole it. So therefore, your perception of them is, they steal. And what's your perception of somebody that's always coming up and asking for money from you? Always asking money. And all they do is borrow. Borrow money, give this, take this from you. All this kind of thing. What's your perception of that? Versus the fact that some of you I know work. The question is, why do you work? You don't have a family. But you work because you have clothes that you're going to buy. Your clothes. You have a car that you're driving. You have insurance, gas to pay. Things like that. That's why you work. Those responsibilities there. Now, what perception do people have of the world of somebody that steals and are always asking for money versus somebody that works? Who do they respect the most? Who do they regard the most? Who are they going to come to when they know they can rely upon this person the most? Is it you that steal, or is it you that works? Which one is it? Let's go to the next one. Let's go down to verse 29, where he says, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as the good for edifying as the need may be, that it may give grace to them to hear. Now, are spoken words a good judge of character? What you say, usually it is. When you hear somebody cursing, automatically, immediately you have a perception of what kind of person that is. Like lying, as we talked about just a while ago. But then, when it comes down to the words that you hear, you have a perception of somebody. If they are bitter, if they are angry words, or if they have words that, I'll be there, I promise you I'll be there, I'll be there at this time, let's just meet there, and next thing you know, you're there, but they don't fulfill that promise. Those words you held on to, but they didn't fulfill those promises. I mean, we're talking about bitter speech. We're talking about words that are very angry, cursing, profanity, ugly words, corrupt speech, as he mentions here in verse 29. What kind of perception do you have of that versus the words that he says here that bring about words of edification? Words that everybody likes to hear. They like to talk to you. They like to be around you. They respect you because of what you say. your perception in the world makes a difference. Now look at verse 31. Verse 31 of Ephesians 4 and verse 32 has two different things in it that I want you to think about. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. Now look at the difference between the two. Is getting along with people a character trait? Do you know how people get along with each other? They're just like verse 31. They're angry, they quarrel, they debate, they're malice, they're bitter. The words they use, wrath, in those relationships at home, school, church, whatever. There's some people that like to take a knife and stick it in their character and just cut them all to pieces with it. That's the words that you're seeing in verse 31. But how do you treat other people? Verse 32, is it the words that are, when he says, tenderhearted? Do you deliver mercy to people or do you ruin them? He says the word forbear. Do you forbear people or do you downgrade them? He uses the word kindness. Are you that person or are you bitter? The words at which you say, the relationships that you have with other people, makes all the difference in the world. Do you want to be around a person who has a bad temper or one who controls their temper? Okay, here's going to be the test. Let's just say somebody mentions Kayla's name. And when they mention Kayla's name or any of the things in verse 25 to verse 32, the things they think about, is she a liar? Is she one that likes to pick a fight? Did she steal? Or is she one who has edifying speech? Or does she tell the truth? The way people perceive you. And this goes all the way from Kayla down here to Jackson. And Jackson, somebody mentions Jackson's name. What do they think about? Do they think about somebody who is angry? Or do they think about somebody who is edifying? They like to be around him? This goes from somebody that's 5 versus somebody that's 25. All the way up. So the way people perceive you makes a world of difference. They'll either say, don't want to get around him. Don't go to Jack. Don't be around Jackson. Don't want to be around him. Let's go around Kayla because she is somebody that everybody wants to be like. Or we could say, don't want to be around Kayla. We want to come over here and be like Jackson because we want to be around Jackson because he's this kind of person. How people perceive you makes a world of difference. But then, I think we need to go on a little bit further and ask this question. This is where God comes into the picture here. Should we really care about how others perceive us? And the first thing I would tell you is, yes, we all do. We all care about it. To some point or other, we do care. Because let's just face it, we have the tendency to look at people or ask people, say, do you think I look better in red or do you think I look better in blue? Do you think I look better with my hair cut? Or do you think I look better with it long? Do you think I ought to go here or should I go there? Do you think I'll be with this person or do you think I ought to be this? Do you like this boy that I'm with or do you like this girl that I'm with? We have all these kind of things that we ask people in order to receive an acceptance from them. And in the book of John chapter 12, there were people who wanted the acceptance of the people that were around them. Verse 42 said, nevertheless, even the rulers, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of God. They had the perception that if they went over here and started following Jesus, then the people in the synagogue wouldn't like him. And they didn't want that. They love the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of God. They wanted a good standing in the mind of the people that were their friends. Therefore, this perception, we care about this. We care a lot about it because we want this acceptance. But what we should care about is that we not be despised as much as we're thinking about being accepted. Those are two different things sometimes. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 12, he talks about this idea about being despised. He says in verse 12, let no man despise your youth. And that goes along with this idea of acceptance. We want people to accept me. We want people to like me. Well, you don't. And he goes along and talks about how it is you need to be an example to them that believe in word in manner of life and love and faith and purity. You don't become to be a believer in Christ just because you gain acceptance of the people at Southside Church of Christ. Or that way your mom and dad will like you more if you become a Christian. You just don't do those things just for that reason. But to keep people from despising you, your character in the world means all the difference in the world. Proverbs 22, verse 1, he says, a name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. A good name. I say, Kurt, what do you think? Good name or bad name? What do you think? Good name or bad name? His perception of the world's already gone ahead of him. And let's say John Phelps wants to be an elder someday. John Phelps wants to be an elder someday. How is he going to be an elder? Does this have anything to do with it? If we let this go, then John's never going to be an elder. He never will be an elder. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, it's the way he presents himself as a man above reproach. Therefore, as a man above reproach, then there's a good possibility he may become an elder. So there's something about your perception in the world. It makes a world of difference. In the minds of the people that you see, and especially in God's mind. Because when you look in Philippians 2 and 1 Peter 2, we are the people who are presented in the world by God to be the example. For example, in Philippians chapter 2, look in verse 15 of Philippians 2, and he says it this way, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you're seen as lights in the world. Children of God. God wants you placed where you can be harmless, blameless, and you can be the lights of the world. God wants you there to be presenting to the world something that other people your age out in the world don't present. Now, what's the effect of all this? Well, some people, based upon you following what God wants you to do and your perception being what the Bible teaches, there are some people that won't like it. In the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 26, it says, "Woe to you when all people speak well of you." Woe to you when all people speak well of you. If you're doing what you do so everybody can say, "Oh, Kobe's a good guy, I'm a good guy, and Kobe's this and Kobe's that, and everybody likes Kobe, and everybody speaks well of Kobe," then there's probably going to be something wrong. Because if we're following what God wants us to do and the perception that He has of us, and our physical appearance is based upon the character that we find in the Bible, then not everybody's going to speak well of Kobe. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It depends on the direction in which Kobe takes his life. The book of 1 Peter chapter 4 says it this way in verse 4. He says, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them into the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you." Now, if Kobe's going to be what Christ wants him to be, as it talks about in verse 1 of this chapter, ceasing from sin, then Kobe's going to get the response in verse 4. People are going to speak evil of him. Now, does that mean Kobe's a bad person? No. Not everybody is going to like your character in the world. Now, does that mean we're supposed to give and take the world? We're going to give to the world here when we're with the world, or we're going to give to the Christians when we're with the Christians? No, we're going to have to make a stand for what is right. And that's where the idea of God comes along. How does God perceive you? Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, he says it this way. He says, "But even as we have been approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who proved our hearts." We've got to work on what it is that is the perception that God has of us. And that's why I refer back to what we talked about a while ago in 1 Samuel 6, verse 16, verse 7, that God told Samuel, God doesn't look on the outward like man does. God looks upon the inward. Well, the inward's going to have a lot to do with what goes on the outward. And your perception in the world is going to be, okay, you're a man of love, or you're the man of joy, you're the man of peace. And they look at Audrey and they think, Audrey Moore, she is a person that's kind, and she's gentle, and she's a person that has courage. Or they're going to say, well, she's a person you don't want to be around because her anger gets out of hand, and she just spits off all these words that you don't want to ever hear anybody say. But God's perception of you is where all this starts. If you get so overwhelmed with the perception that everybody else has of you in the world, you know what you're going to do? You're going to be paranoid. You're going to be a schizoid. You're going to be somebody that's going to have a mental disorder of some kind. It's always based upon something about social connection with people. You're going to be antisocial. You're going to be an avoidant, as they call it. You're going to find yourself isolated over here when you can't find yourself being accepted by everybody else because you're so focused on what everybody else thinks of you. Think about what it is that God says. Think about what it is that God says, and as a result of that, you will find yourself perceived by the world as a person of morality, courage, love, faith, self-control, goodness, kindness, pure in heart, hungers and thirsts after righteousness, and your clothes are going to show it, and all that you do, it's going to make a world of difference. I want you to think about something with me. When it comes down to your faithfulness, do you measure it by everybody else, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, or whether or not it's pleasing to God? And that's what Paul mentioned in Galatians 1, verse 10. When I present this truth, he says, am I pleasing men or am I pleasing God? How you're presenting yourself to the world makes a world of difference, especially if God is the one that's causing you to present this character to the world. Are you pleasing men or are you trying to please God? There's something that the Pharisees said about Jesus. I want you to think. I want to repeat it twice. This is Mark chapter 12, verse 14. Mark 12, 14. The Pharisees said of Jesus, teacher, we know that you are true. And you think, well, that's a good thing to say about somebody. But then he goes on to say, because you care not for anyone. Well, that's a bad thing to say about somebody. You're true, but you don't care about anybody. But notice what he says about that. For you regard not the person of men, but of a truth teach the way of God. There's the difference. Teacher, we know that you are true, and you care not for anyone, for thou regard not the person of men, but of a truth teach the way of God. Do you know, based upon Jesus being that person, that's why it says in Luke 2:52, he grew in stature and favor in God and man. That's how he did that. Interesting how that happened. Therefore, I'm going to leave you with this thought that William Shakespeare said in Hamlet, based upon Mark chapter 12, verse 14. To thine own self be true, and it must follow, as night does the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. That's a lot of words. I mean, that takes a lot to figure out what that really means. It's kind of the same thing with Mark chapter 12, verse 14. To your own self be true, based upon what God wants you to be. Let your perception to the world be what God's standard is. To your own self be true, and thou canst not be false to any man. Be true. Because I want to tell you something. The world needs people who are true to Jesus. True to Christ. And that's your first step. Being true to Jesus. John 8, verse 32 said, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Follow that truth. If you're not a Christian already, I would encourage you very strongly to be one. Because your perception of the world is not just so, well, I'm a good boy, I'm a good girl. Your perception of the world is going to mean a lot when you talk about the idea of you're a Christian. Repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Tell the people what you believe about the Lord and be baptized in the water to rise to walk in newness of life. If you've already done that, and your perception of the world is when they mention your name, oh man, all they can think about is something bad. It's probably time for you to change. It's time for you to repent. It's time for you to ask God to forgive you. So that your perception of the world will be the image of Jesus and what God wants you to be. Think about that. Do what's right while we all together stand.